Here's my text today, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, I've spoken several times from this chapter in God's Word, but I'm going to bring another message from it today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, here's the title of the message. Listen, Confession of Sin. Confession of Sin. What is it to confess our sins? 1 John 1, 9 says this, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, He, Almighty God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession of sins. What a blessing that is when we truly, truly confess our sins to God and are truly, completely, forever forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to speak on that subject, but before I do, I must establish several things. Before I get to the heart of that text, I've got to establish some things. We've got to clear up some things. We got to admit some things. Now, here's the first one. All people, men and women, boys and girls, are sinners. I had a friend get angry with me while he was listening to this television program years ago, that is before God brought him to knowledge of Christ, because I pointed to the audience and I said, "You're a sinner and I'm a sinner." And he got angry. He said, "I'm not a sinner," and turned the television off. I'm thankful that he got up and turned it back on and heard the rest of the message. But my friend, this is true. You're a sinner. It doesn't matter who you are. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. There is no difference. The Bible says that. There is no difference. Pulpit, in the pew, or in the world, all men and women are sinners. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that not what the Scripture says? There is none that doeth good and sinneth not. The Lord God looked down from heaven, Psalm 14 says, to see if any did do good. And He said, there's none good, none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seek God. We're born with the principle of sin in us. We fell in Adam. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all sinned in Adam. And David said in Psalm 51, when we're conceived in the womb of our mother, we're conceived in sin. When we're formed and developed the 9 months that we live in that womb, we're shapen in iniquity. That's what he said, Psalm 51, 5. And when we come forth from the womb, we come forth estranged from God, liars. That's right. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. I didn't invent that. That's what the Scripture says. And most of you know it by experience. Look at verse 8 in this same chapter, 1 John 1. Verse 8 says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. Don't say that. Like my friend David said, when I said, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner, he turned the television off and said, I'm no sinner. Now, he was deceived, and the truth wasn't in him. Thank God there's some truth in him now. He admits he's a sinner. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If a man says he has no sin, he deceives himself. The truth's not in him. And look at verse 10. Following our text, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and His Word's not in us. So I'm saying this to you, we're sinners. Let's establish this fact first of all. By birth, by choice, by nature, by principle, by practice, we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. And if you don't admit this and own this, you're deceived. And four things, you're deceived, the truth's not in you, you made God a liar. That's what it says, made God Almighty a liar, and His Word's not in you. I'll go one step further. Yeah, you hang on. I'll go one step further. Even our good works are filthy rags in God's sight. That's what Scripture says. Isaiah 64:6, even our righteousnesses are filthy rags. In other words, even the good that we do has too much self in it, too much selfish motives in it, too many, too much personal ego in it. For one reason or another, we have tainted everything we touch. We have tainted everything we deal with. We've made it unacceptable to God because we're in it. Now that's, I know that's difficult for most folks to receive, but it's what God says. It's true. All are sinners. And I tell you, if we just knew how evil we are, how capable we are of the grossest sins, if it were not for God's restraining hand. The Scripture says the wrath of man will praise the Lord, and the rest of the wrath He will restrain. That's right. You say this world's gone to the dogs. If God didn't restrain it and restrain us and restrain you and restrain evil, you don't know what dogs are and what hell is. It's restrained by God. God has restrained you. He's put hedges about you and walls about you and barriers about you and about me to keep us from being what we could be. And we're not going to get anywhere with this confession of sin until we've got something to confess. And we have plenty to confess if we just realize it, just face it, just read God's Word, just admit the truth. All right, here's the second thing. I'm glad I've got this to say. I'm glad I've got this to say after that. Secondly, I've got to lay this foundation. God's merciful. God is merciful. Thank God He's merciful. God will forgive sin. I spoke on that last week. You remember? There's forgiveness with God. He's plenteous in mercy. He delights to show merciful. Be merciful. He delights to show mercy. The Scripture says, be ye merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. God is merciful. God will forgive sinners. His everlasting covenant is a covenant of grace. There's no works mixed in it. It's all of grace. All of grace. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Before He was born, the angel came to Joseph and said, call His name Jesus. Joshua, our Savior, called His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's why He's coming. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. When He hung on that cross, why was He hanging there? He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. God's merciful. God will forgive sins. God will be gracious. That's why Christ died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him. That's why He died. And He lives to intercede for sinners. Paul in Romans 8 said, who can condemn us? Christ died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And then, my friends, the gospel is preached with the promise of forgiveness. That's what the gospel does. It promises forgiveness to all who believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son of God shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Isaiah 1:18, God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's the gospel promise. In Acts 13:38, The apostle said, "Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." God will forgive sin. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Forgiveness. I'm talking about forgiveness. A while ago I talked about sin. And I took us down, not nearly as far down as we are. I tried to describe what we are by birth, by nature. I might have offended some people, who knows, but we need to be offended. Sin ought to offend us. But now I'm talking about the mercy of God. God, just as much as we are evil, God is holy. Just as much as we are unthankful, God is merciful. Just as far down as you can talk about the depths of our depravity, you have to go the other direction to describe the heights of His mercy and His grace. God will forgive sin. God delights to show mercy. That's His glory. All right, here's the third thing I must establish. First, we're sinners. Secondly, God is merciful. He will forgive. Thirdly, the Bible is full of promises of mercy and forgiveness to those who confess their sins and come to Christ and believe on Christ. Isaiah 45, verse 22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else. Look and find mercy." Isaiah 55 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he'll find mercy. Let him return to our God, and he will abundantly, abundantly pardon forever." Matthew 11, 28, our Lord said, "Come to me, I'll give you rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you come, and I'll give you rest." I tell you, God talks about casting our sins into the depths of the sea. He talks about blotting them out. He talks about casting them behind His back. He talks about remembering them no more. And here in my text, listen to it again. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. If we say we have not sin, we make God a liar and His word's not in us. But if we confess our sins, confess them, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confess them. Don't deny them. Don't hide them. Don't justify them. Don't excuse them. Don't alibi out of it. Come clean. Confess. Confess our sin. Not somebody else's, not the world's sin. Our sins. It says He's faithful. Who's faithful? God is. He's faithful to His nature. God is love. God delights to show mercy. That's God's nature. His nature is holiness, but His love too. That's what Christ did when He came. God's truth and God's mercy met together in Christ. God's righteousness and peace kissed each other at Calvary in Christ. He's faithful. Faithful to His nature. He's faithful to His covenant. His covenant is a covenant of grace, testament. Faithful to His Son. He promised His Son a people. He's faithful to His Word. He says, "I will be merciful. I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will, but I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious." He is faithful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, and watch, and He's just. He's just. In other words, God has purposed a way, and in Christ given us a way, that He can be holy and yet forgive us. He can be righteous and yet show mercy to us. He can punish our sins and yet forgive our sins. How does He do that? Christ took our place. The Son of God, the second person of the divine Godhead, came into this world in human flesh and walked this earth as a man, tempted, tried, tested as in all points as we are, yet without sin. And God looked on Him and considered us. God looked on His obedience and reckoned it to us, imputed it to us, gave it to us. And then God sent His Son to the cross, and there He punished Him for all the sins of all believers of all generations and all ages, and He paid the debt in full, and God forgave us. The law was honored. Justice was satisfied. The debt was paid, and we owe nothing. That's right. Legally, positionally, before the law, before justice, we're not guilty. We have no sin. I'm not guilty. My sin's been paid for. I'm not guilty. In Christ, I fulfill the law. He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins, all of them, not some of them. God, when Christ died for my sins, He didn't die for the sins that I committed up to the point I made a profession of faith. People say, well, when I believed on Christ, He paid for my sins up to that point. My friends, when Christ died on the cross, all my sins were future. All of them were future. He paid for it. I didn't pay for it. Faith didn't pay for it. Profession of faith didn't pay for it. Christ did. He didn't pay for some of them. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from what? All. A-L-L. Now, in Eastern Kentucky, that means the whole kit and caboodle. All of it. What's it mean in West Virginia and Ohio? All our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sin. That's not some of them. That's all of them. I'll tell you this. You read Romans chapter 3. You'll find when Christ died, He not only paid for the sins of His people in the future, He paid for the sins of His people in the past. When He came and died on the cross, Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, what about those people? Through the forbearance and long-suffering of God, Almighty God waited until Christ died, and their sin debt was canceled and paid. And when He died, all who will believe, all their sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness and present us, listen, holy, unblameable, unreprovable, faultless in His presence. You know something? If we confess our sins, if we come before God genuinely owning our sins, admitting our sins, not denying them, not justifying, not excusing them, before God admitting, confessing our sins, and believing on Christ, looking to Him alone for salvation, Him alone for mercy, Him alone for grace, trusting Him, resting in Him, receiving Him, submitting to Him, looking to Him alone, right then, God Almighty forgives all your sins, past, present, and future. You are in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. You're justified, you're sanctified, you're redeemed. You are God's child. You have not one sin and never will have a sin. Now, that's exactly right. Never will have a sin because they're all paid for. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from what? All sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's a little word here in my text I want to look at. A little word. It's a two-letter word. It carries so much weight and such great importance. If. 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 It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you this, no man ever truly comes to God in sincerity seeking mercy but what he finds it. That's right. That's right. The problem is, here's the problem, finding someone who's sincere. Finding someone who's genuine, someone who's truly repentant in heart and truly confesses his sin. Job said this, God looks upon men, and if any say, I have sinned. I have sinned. I have perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me not. That man shall have delivered his soul from going down into the pit, and he shall see the light. Can you do that? Sincerely, honestly, genuinely, before God? It's true, I have sinned. It's true, no doubt about it. But it's easy to say, I have sinned, I've sinned. That's easy to say. Do you mean it? If you go through the Bible, you'll find some people who didn't mean it, and some who did. Let me give you some who didn't. Pharaoh didn't mean it. In Exodus 9, 27, 28, Pharaoh said to Moses, I've sinned. Take your people and get out of here. Did he mean it? No. Wasn't long till he's right after him. Balaam said it. He was the covetous preacher. He's supposed to have been a preacher, a prophet, but he got in cahoots with some fellows with some money, some promoters, and he just couldn't resist it. He was so covetous and so greedy, and finally God spoke to him through the ash. You remember the talking ash that God talked to Balaam, and he said, oh, I've sinned, but he didn't mean it. Wasn't long till he just as covetous as ever. We've seen a lot of that in the 1990s, haven't we? King Saul said, I have sinned. He said to David when he was chasing David, wanted to kill him, he said, David, son, I'm sorry. Sorry I tried to kill you. I've sinned. But he wasn't sincere because he tried it again. Kept on trying it till God killed him. Achan, he stole the wedge of gold. Remember in Joshua 7? And finally, Joshua caught him. God punished Israel for what this man did. He coveted that wedge of gold. He stole it. He hid it in his tent, and he wouldn't admit it. And finally, Joshua found him by process of elimination. He found him. He said, son, you stole this gold. And finally, old Achan said, I've sinned. But he didn't say it till he was exposed, till he had to. He didn't mean it. Judas, who betrayed our Lord, who sold him for 30 pieces of silver, do you know he said, I have sinned? That's right. Out of remorse and despair and depression, he finally came back to the priest from whom he had taken the 30 pieces of silver and cast them on the floor, and he said, I've sinned. Did he mean it? Well, he knew it, but he went out and hanged himself. But I want you to look at a man in the Bible who said, I have sinned. And he meant it. He was genuine. He was sincere. And I want you to see the welcome he got. He said, I've sinned. He was a genuine sinner, a prodigal, guilty, wasted his father's substance, alienated from his father. But he said, I've sinned. And this is a picture of true confession. Now, I want you to watch it. I've sinned. The prodigal son. You're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, how he'd spent all, wasted his father's substance on righteous living. He was now feeding the hogs, literally in the hog pen, and you're familiar with his confession of sin. But have you ever really looked at it? Listen to it. It says, first of all, in Luke 15, verse 17, and when he came to himself, when he realized what he was, when he realized where he was, when he realized why was that? Have you ever come to that place? He was a poor rebel. That's what he was. He was in the hog pen. That's where he was. And he was there. Why? Because of his own evil nature and heart. Can you face that? What are you? A sinner. A rebel. Where are you? Away from God. Alienated from God in darkness and sin. Going to hell. Why are you there? My fault. It's not my mama's fault or my daddy's fault or my country's fault or my environment's fault. It's my fault. I'm what I am by choice, and so are you. Then what did he do? He came to himself, realized what he was, where he was, and why he was there. Secondly, he considered his father's house, not his father's law, his father's goodness. Listen to what he said. Oh, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger. He said, I'm not talking about sons. I'm talking about servants. I tell you, my father's God. Your father is God. That's right. If you're one of his own, one of his believers. And the goodness of God is what leads a man to repentance. It's not the whip of the law. I tell all these preachers, hellfire and brimstone is not going to bring people to repentance. It didn't bring the prodigal son to himself or to repentance. He sat down. If he'd have thought about a whip, he wouldn't have gone home. If he'd have thought about hellfire, he wouldn't have gone home. If he'd have thought his father was a terrible tyrant who wouldn't forgive, he wouldn't go home. But he said, why, in my father's house, even the servants are taken care of. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned. He humbled himself. I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not looking for merit. I'm not looking for praise. I'm not looking for position. I'm not looking for reward. I got no excuses. I'm not deserving of anything. Just make me a slave, because your slaves fare better than the devil's sons. I've sinned, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. You know what kind of welcome he got? The father ran, saw him coming, ran, embraced him and kissed him, and said, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe on his back. My son was lost, now he's home. What'd he do? He came to himself. He humbled himself. He saw the goodness of his father, and he came home, and he confessed his sins, and he found mercy. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. You want this message? Send $2, the confession of sin. And on the other side, a psalm of forgiveness. Till next week, God bless you, everyone.